So as I said, I'm happy to take any questions arising from
it. Surely it's a futile attempt, Mr. Copeland, to actually try and start a new party and get into Parliament. Such a big idea. I mean, what confidence that you're going to be anything other than a footnote in history?
When you've got 80% of the country agreeing with one of the central tenets of this new party, which is repeal of the anti-smacking law, which will become, if you like, a bottom line for us if we do get into Parliament, when we've got a petition going around the country which has already collected 180,000 signatures in 3 months, I think we're actually truly dealing with an unprecedented event in our political history.
But if there are 117 MPs voting for this bill tonight, your hope is to get in with one or two other colleagues and then do what?
Well, John Key has said that one of the reasons that he entered into the compromise with Helen Clark was to give parents some reassurance over the next 18 months until the 2008 elections. But he's also said after that that he is open to revisiting the matter. And I publicly came out immediately and said that if he does that, he will have my wholehearted support.
Helen Clark says that she's got the proxy. Is that correct?
I will be giving my proxy for on competent supply to the Labor government for this budget and for all of the associated legislation, because it will, as you'll see tomorrow, involve some very big wins for United Future in terms of our competent supply agreement. I'll also continue to support all legislation coming for the Parliament which continues to advance the 15 policy wins that we achieved through that competence supply agreement.
You were voted in as a List MP essentially on the back of Peter Dunn winning his seat. Shouldn't you resign from Parliament?
No, I believe that under MMP, when people give their party vote to a party, they do exactly that. I was voted in for that particular party, and as I've said, I believe it is necessary now to keep faith with the... I mean, I've analysed who voted for us. And I'm quite convinced that to keep faith to our basic support, the basic people who voted me in here in both 202 and 205, that I would actually be betraying their trust if I were not to take this step.
But surely if that's the case, United Future would have had a party position on this bill, wouldn't have had it as a council favourite.
Well, you're going to a very interesting area. I have a high regard for a person's conscience. And each of us in United Future have had the privilege, unlike those in the Labour Party, and after the compromise in the National Party, of actually being able to follow our conscience. But it's also a political reality that following your conscience does have consequences.
But what you're saying is that your conscience, your party should have had a policy that equated to your conscience. They didn't have a policy. How do you know that United Future voters necessarily agree with you rather than with Peter Dunn?
Well, can I just make it clear, the reason that I need to leave United Future is the reality is United Future cannot adopt a policy to repeal this legislation. When you think it through, that cannot happen when the leader of the party is a strong supporter of the legislation. So that's actually one of the reasons which has necessitated me actually leaving to reform Future New Zealand so that we can actually take that position. And as I said earlier, when you've got 80% of New Zealanders agreeing with that, and if I was to look at our supporters, I would say it's more like 90% plus who agree that this is bad law and should be repealed as soon as possible.
In what other areas do you disagree with your party?
Look, to be honest, I haven't come here with a list of such matters. I would say that up until now I've been happy to be part of United Future, although on a number of issues I have to say I have felt a little bit hemmed in. As I've said in my statement, have a centre party position which does incorporate, for example, the principles of which I regard as universal principles of Christian principles, which have been so formative in our country's history and its culture and its legislation. And I want to keep moving down that path because, again, I believe that those are principles which the great majority of New Zealanders adhere to.
Are you going to have any association with the Destiny Church?
I have had no dealings or association either with Taito Phillip Field or with the Destiny Church.
The Plan Two has moved away from its Christian principles.
I think that if you think back, it's probably been a long time since you've heard a member of our caucus use the word.
Do you plan to have any association with the Destiny Church or Mr. Field?
As I say, I have no relationship with them of any kind. And
are you open to one?
Not at this stage, no, because I think there are two very real problems from my point of view. One of them is the police investigations into Taita Phillip Field. And secondly is the fact that the Destiny Party has been a rival political party, which actually spent a lot of its time criticising United Future. So from those two points of view, I would say it's very unlikely.
Do you see yourself covering the full range of Christian views, or is it a particular set of Christian views that you see yourself aligning with?
Democracy itself, I would argue, has come from Christian principles. Most of our legal system has come from Christian principles. Most of our constitutional arrangements, Treaty of Waitangi, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It's impossible to list them because they are embedded right through our entire culture. And I might say that many non-Christian New Zealanders and people who follow no particular religious phrase and say to me, nevertheless, if I have to define what my values are, I would, in a short way, say they're Christian values.
But there's not certain types of Christianity that you're thinking of promoting through your party.
This party will be open to all New Zealanders of all faiths or none.
What did Peter Dunn say to you when you rang and tell the news?
Just think back on that. First thing he said was, I can't hear you. After we'd figured out that little problem, I told him, and I think it's fair to say that it came as something of a shock to him, which is what you'd expect.
When was that?
That was earlier this afternoon.
When did you decide?
This is a decision which I've been thinking about very carefully for 6 months, and it's been a progressive point to actually deciding that I would make the break with United Future. We picked today as the day after the committee stage of the anti-smacking bill. So probably that has actually brought the timetable forward.
Will it rain on United Future's parade tomorrow with the budget?
No, I don't think it will. I think that the story will have legs for a little while, and that 2 o'clock tomorrow the attention will switch to the budget, and rightly so.
Given that you've been planning this thing for several months, but you've only told Mr. Dunn this afternoon, do you feel you've acted with integrity?
Absolutely. I would say with in all good conscience that I've had worked privately with Peter for quite some time trying to find another solution, and that hasn't been possible.
Do you think that integrity could have existed in terms of the fact that you might have told him to his face, or do you think the phone's the right way to go about it?
That was purely circumstantial. There was no other way that I could talk to Peter today, and you and the media would, of all people, would appreciate that I needed to leave my telling him quite close to this press conference.
Haven't you actually betrayed him quite severely by getting in by virtue of the release and then the day before his business tax package, which has been negotiated,
you're upstaging? No, I think that, as I've just said, that the attention tomorrow will go on to the budget, and I am delighted that that budget will contain some big wins for United Future. And I want to say publicly that I wish Peter Dunn all the very best in the future with his political career. Who knows, come 2008, if my plans come to fruition, we might all be working together.
Well, both you, was he a bit too liberal for you? Peter Dunn, I think he's socially liberal for you to hang around the party longer.
Well, I think if you go back to the two parties, you'll recall there was a United Party, which Peter Dunn would openly trumpet as a liberal party. That's the core of it. The Future New Zealand Party, which is the party that I joined, had more of a commitment to Christian principles. Now, those two things are not incompatible, and I think that we worked very well together in the last Parliament. But it would also be true to say that sometimes there are tensions.
Both yourself and Larry Baldock have been working on the review of the Prostitution Law Reform Act.
Yes.
So presumably you give that work up now, because it was part of the United Future Confidence and Supply Agreement, wasn't it?
Correct. I haven't discussed that particular issue yet, but my expectation is that I'm no longer a member of the party, so therefore I won't be involved in the completion of that work.
Can you tell us how many people are leaving United Future, and also from the board, and do you think it's right that people who are intending to leave a party should stay on its ruling board, presumably getting information, supposedly furthering the interests of that party? It's not a thing of integrity, is it?
Well, I think when you form a new party, obviously you have to leave the one you're in, and they will be doing that individually in their own time. I can't give any numbers.
Have you asked the new to come with you?
No.
Gordon, Harry Baldock is pretty closely associated with Outdoor Recreation New Zealand. Is your party going to be moving in that direction? That's one question. Could you let us know what seat you intend standing in at the next election, and will you be contesting all the electorates?
I'll try and go through them one by one. I think most of the big issues with Outdoor Rec we are endeavouring to deliver through United Future is intending to deliver those through the Common Supply Agreement. So that's just an open sheet going forward. I have made no decision at this stage which electorate I'll contest in 2008. And yes, we would plan to have a candidate in every election. I mean, I'm looking to build a strong party with a large membership and a representation throughout the country.
What type of financial backing do you have?
Well, I haven't looked at my wallet lately. Let's think it through. I'm today telling you at the first opportunity we're starting a new party. We're starting basically from scratch. All that lies ahead of us.
Will you still help United Future pay out its bill to parliamentary service?
I've actually been making a progressive payment to that. And I will continue to complete the commitment I made in that regard.
How far away are you from getting 500 members, and what happens in the meantime? Because don't you need to have your 500 members of your party before you can represent yourself in Parliament as the leader of that party?
No. I will actually remain an independent MP for the duration of this party. I am now the co-leader of a newly founded party, but we have to go through the Electoral Commission, satisfy their rules, as you say, get our 500 members. All that's ahead of us.
So you'll stay as an independent until the next election?
Correct, that's right. There's no ability under standing orders to leave and exist. The only parties that are represented in the Parliament are those that were actually elected to Parliament through the electoral process.
So is Larry Baldock the other co-leader?
Correct.
Is Murray Smith joining you too?
You'll need to address any questions you have for Murray to Murray.
Do you think you would be doing this if United Future was whole and healthy?
I think that had we had a strong position and a strong commitment to oppose Sue Bradford's anti-smacking bill, that we would be polling very well right now.
How do you intend to repeal that bill? I mean, what would the legislation say?
It would be, and this is an answer which needs a bit of teasing out. I was a strong supporter of the Chester Burrows Amendment. I am very happy personally with that amendment. I think it's good law as opposed to bad law, and I think it makes a clear distinction which those 80% of New Zealanders all believe is necessary between abhorrence for child abuse on the one hand and a light smack with the hand, which is all that amendment does, for the purpose of correcting a child on the other. And I believe that it's unprecedented in New Zealand's history for us to pass a bill which will criminalise literally hundreds of thousands of people who are good people, not bad people, and we look to me to be punishing the innocent for the misdemeanors of the guilty.
So you're going to go into the next election with your bottom line, your number one policy is going to be defining smacking and changing the law to insert that into the law.
That's correct. That will be, I don't know about the number one, but it will certainly be on our list of bottom lines.
It's your bottom line.
Yes, it will be one of our bottom lines.
This 80% that you keep talking about was a poll taken before the compromise was reached. What makes you think that the majority of parents don't actually support the compromise?
I would have to wait, I think, for a new poll to come out. I mean, your point is valid. So the 80%, but my perception is, and I get emails, lots of them every day on this issue, is that people took a little while to absorb the compromise, but are fast coming to the conclusion that all it does is change the word trivial to inconsequential, and the result of Commissioner Broad has said we'll have to now go to a judge to find out what inconsequential means. In other words, it does actually changes nothing of any consequence in relation to that bill.
Can we just clarify, please, your position on the proxy? You're going to support the budget, but then is it case by case then on legislation, or are you resting in proxy definitely with the Labor government?
What I want to do is to give a commitment that I will always use my proxy to support those policy wins of United Future in the Coal to Supply Agreement. That's extremely important to me. I agree with those policies, each and every one of them. In terms of other legislation and beyond this budget, I'm leaving my options open.
So what the move like in United Future, are any staff losing their jobs over this? I'm sure party funding will be cut. So have you been backslapped by the EAs or... What is the mood of United?
I haven't really had a chance to test that, but the answer to your question about losing staff is no, because if you like, the allocation is going to be as an MP, so that those funds go with me, and the staff that I have will also go with me, and all I can say is that my staff have been tremendously supportive of this move.
Can I ask a question? I think there's something unclear left over from Diane's question.
Sure.
The support on conflicts and supply for the budget associated legislation plus the conflicts and supply deals that you've done.
Yes.
Will you support the Labor government on conflicts and supply deals other than those that are part of your coalition or a support arrangement, I should say?
Well, I think I've put it this way. If you're asking me, am I going to give conflicts and supply for the 208 budget, my answer would be I'm leaving my options open.
You spoke before about feeling hemmed in and there being tensions. What's your personal relationship like with Peter Dunn?
I have enjoyed, in the main, working with Peter. We have had some vigorous debates on a number of issues. and we have some points of difference. But I would like to think, at least for my part, that it's been a good working relationship.
Do you feel that you've been made to agree to things that you haven't really wanted to? I was thinking of, for example, state funding, where you thought there was merit in the idea, and Peter Dunn said, no, my party won't be supporting it.
No, there was no problem about that issue within our caucus.
Judy, do you know if she feels devastated and betrayed by your position? How do you feel about that?
Well, as I said earlier, I think it's very important to remember that I'm elected here by the people of New Zealand. I'm here to serve those people. I have a special responsibility to those who voted for United Future in 2005, gave their party vote to United Future Party. And that's where my loyalty has to lie. I regret, and I can understand exactly where Judy's coming from, this is a shock to her, and those things are not pleasant, but they flow from the decision I've decided to take.
If you're resigning now, would hardly take a vote away from United Future, you'd just be replaced. Why don't you just get out of the way if you're not happy?
I think I've made it very, very clear that if I were to do that, I would be betraying, in my view, probably well over 90% of our members.
So
there was a very, very strong, strong base in United Future, which is devastated and deeply upset to the extent, as I mentioned in my press release, where they are leaving the party, where they are making it clear that they will never give their vote to us again, because of our inability to give a clear commitment to repealing that law.
So by remaining in the party, the other two members are betraying it.
You need to put that question to them.
Well, that's what you're saying. Logic of what you're saying, isn't it?
Well, time will tell, won't it?
You're staying true to them. By staying, the other two must be betraying them.
But what do you have to say to the person next on the list that would have got in if they'd been in your position now?
Thanks, Kevin.
Sorry. You know, like the person that you're keeping out of Parliament, what do you have to say to them?
That's going to be my new co-leader, Larry Baldock. He's next on the list.
But he's not going to come in, obviously, if he's not in the future.
Of course. So to answer your question is, we're in this together.
The person that would actually have been in United Future if there's anyone left.
Sorry?
The person that would have actually represented United Future. What do you have to say to them?
Well, what I've got to say to them is that this is all part of the New Zealand political process. We have no waka jumping legislation. And I am now an independent member of Parliament. That's the reality.
What do you say to people who would take that statement about you saying the New Zealand people have elected you here, when quite clearly you're here because of your position on the United Future list. It doesn't seem to be a problem within the wider United Future Party in terms of coming down on Peter Dunn or anyone else, and your position here is due solely to him winning his electorate seat. Do you seriously...
Well, why then have I just told you that members of the party, including some board members,
well,
are resigning?
Why have they left? I mean, if people feel this strongly about it, why hasn't United Future disintegrated? Why are there people sitting there who clearly feel that it should be a bottom line of that party to repeal the smacking law?
Well, let's just go back to the history of it. It was a private member's bill in the name of Sue Bradford, drawn out of the ballot in 2005. It did not feature in the 2005 elections. We had no indication then that the Prime Minister would put her party under the whip to force this legislation through. The compromise that John Key did, he clearly explained, because the numbers were already there for this bill to go through. That's the reality.
So what you're saying is that this is such a huge issue in the United Future Party that
yes.
you feel to do justice to the party, you have to leave. Why aren't there...
Not my loyalty. Let me be crystal clear. My loyalty is not to a party. It is to the people of New Zealand who gave their vote to our party with certain expectations which we can no longer fulfil for them.
But how many people are there in the party who feel this strongly that they're about to leave? I mean, that's the claim that you're making here.
I've already answered that question. I don't have any numbers. But I've been asked to inform you that there will be people resigning.
Well, who's
asked by how many people?
How many ways can I answer the question, guys?
Well,
I've already answered.
People have said, Gordon, can you please tell them today that we're going to leave United Future? How many people?
I have not kept count, but I have had a significant number of emails from people who have said in those emails, I voted for United Future in 2005. I said this earlier. I will never vote for you again. Because of the stance that your party has taken
on
the smacking bill.
So your intentions have been quite widely known within the party membership, presumably, for people to have said to you today when you announce your resignation, can you say that we're going with you? That's what you're saying.
I think it's fair to say that, as you can probably imagine, this matter has been under discussion for some months.
So you've been...
So yes, that's true. As you might appreciate, I've been actually playing a cat and mouse game for quite some time.
So you've been recruiting
in that context, there, as I just said, people have conveyed to me and asked me to mention here today that they will be leaving United Future and joining the new party.
So you've been recruiting from within the party while still representing it?
I have not been doing anything of the sort. These are people who are making their own individual decisions.
You may not be able to say how many there are, but you must know whether it's in the order of 10, 50, 100, 200, whatever.
I'm not going any further down that line of questioning.
Are they party members? Or are they people who say they've voted for you in the future?
Both.
So how long ago did you actually plan to hold this press conference today?
We planned to call this press conference today when the anti-smacking bill went through the committee stage 2 weeks ago today.
So don't you think you should have told Peter Dunn before now?
No.
Why wait before the day before the budget?
I think that's not able to be done. This, as you know, politics is a highly transparent process.
So
when I walked into the House today, I had MPs from all sides coming up and saying, interest in the move you're making. The information, as far as I was concerned, was embargoed to 3:40. I mean, all of those things are there, and so it's just there is only one way to do it, and that is to, I think, carefully and in a premeditated and a planned manner.
So you've been going to United Future caucus meetings and no doubt discussing perhaps even what's coming up in the budget, knowing all along that you intended to leave the party?
Well, the all along is in its 13th day.
Well, do you think that's acting with integrity, though? To be sitting around a table with your caucus colleagues discussing party policy, party direction, how you're going to vote in the House, knowing all along that you're going to leave and take members of the party with you?
Certainly I do. I believe that is acting with total integrity. and there is no other way of doing it. If there was another way of doing it, but as far as I'm concerned,
you could have quit straight away 2 weeks ago.
I think I've actually answered that question.
Well, well, for instance, Peter Dunn, when he left Labor, had talked to Adam Clark for several months before he left, letting her know he was thinking of leaving, and kept her well abreast of that.
And I wasn't around at the time, but did she announce that 7 months before?
No, she didn't.
Oh, well, that's what I'm alluding to.
I mean, a cynic might say that the whole reason you're doing this is to get coverage, to get exposure, and that's why you didn't do it 2 weeks ago.
I have certainly, we're certainly fixed on today, because of the significance of the vote that's occurring in Parliament today.
So it is a stage-managed announcement today?
Correct, like any announcement. I remember a very, very, very vividly Winston Peters leaving the National Party and starting his new political vehicle, etc.
But you're asking us to believe that this is an announcement based on a very firmly held principle?
Correct.
But you're also admitting that it's a stage-managed announcement?
No, what I've said to you is that I have considered it very, very carefully with my family and with my friends for some months before deciding to make the move.
Your mind was made up 2 weeks ago.
Yes, that's right. I made my mind up 2 weeks ago.
Prior to those two weeks ago, we were in talks with Peter Dunn about whether or not you remained in the party.
Let me say this, that, and I think if Peter thought about it, I have been utilising every means to communicate to Peter that our party's inability to commit to a repeal of this anti-smacking bill was a significant problem for me personally.
Were you basically saying in response to Brent's question that you don't trust Peter to have kept this quiet if you talked to him about leaving the party?
Well, from what a couple of in this press conference have said, he hasn't kept it quiet between the time I told him and the time of this press conference. So I guess the actions, if that's true, and I don't know because I haven't been in them, but somebody here said, you know, that Peter, that Judy Dunn was devastated, and so I'm assuming, and I'd be naive not to, I suspect, that comments have already been made. So I guess that's exactly what I expect. That's not a criticism of anybody. That's precisely what I would expect to happen in these circumstances. No, I do not. I was elected here by the people of New Zealand that voted for United Future. And it is true that Peter Dunn was the then leader of the party that I was elected with. So to that extent, but, you know, as you all know, our democracy is determined by the people. We have government by the people, and I'm here to serve the people.
If he hadn't wanted a seat, you wouldn't be here.
Of course.
Well, can you?
It's MMP.
Can you envisage any circumstances where, if it came down to your vote, you would bring the government down?
Not right here and now.
So, Gordon, just before you said about party hopping legislation having expired, if you are actually in danger of losing your seat, would you have done this moral position? Taking this moral position of, you know, being able to...
It's an entirely, our future and it's an entirely hypothetical question.
Yeah, well, as a good Christian man, could you answer it?
I don't think that either Christians or heathens have a zest to answer hypothetical questions. That's not the situation I'm in. Okay.